Or we could just talk about Nirvana. Do
that too. We can do that. I can do that. Hello, everyone. This is a special podcast. We do it in this tone of voice, the entire podcast here. It's not a sexy radio DJ voice. I'm just very, very sleepy. This podcast is happening from my floor. The lights are off. Got a pillow down here. So when Ari or Chris launch into a long story, I may go to sleep. I'm very, very tired. Ari, are you very, very tired?
No, I'm wide awake, my friend.
You're the worst. Chris, you've got to be tired, right?
I'm in California. I'm always tired.
Yeah, you go. Wait, why? What's so bad about... He lives in New York. His city never sleeps. Why are you tired?
Because it's California and it's right after lunch.
But don't you all just sit on the beach and make porn and star in films all day? Isn't that what you all do?
You just blew my mind. I just realized I could be podcasting from the beach. That's it. I'm out of here, guys.
Really? Because I was focused on Chris GST and porn, so.
Why would you be focused on wanting to see me in porn, Ari?
I didn't say I wanted to see you in porn.
I'm having a flashback to, it was a brisk afternoon, and I'd seen an advertisement to write for a website called PW Ponderings, and I applied, and Jerome responded, and I now regret everything about that, because it's led me to this moment here where we're talking about Chris in porn. So that's where we are.
Says in his sexy time voice. Sure, Matt.
Yeah. I'll just bring it all down low. Would everyone like it if I talked about men touching each other in this voice?
We want to hear about men pile-driving other men on aprons. That's what we want to hear about.
Well, have I got the podcast for you, Chris? Because last night, Ring of Honor had a little event called All-Star Extravaganza V, which, if you've studied up on your Latin, you'll know means five. It's the fifth such event, and it happened in Toronto, I believe. But probably not real Toronto, but close enough to Toronto that they can put it on a poster and claim it's Toronto, maybe?
No, I believe it was actually Toronto.
Oh, hey, go Ring of Honor.
Right, this was the Madame Athletic Center, formerly the Maple Leaf Gardens, where the Toronto Maple Leafs, I believe, played some sort of sport called hockey once upon a time. I mean, I don't know anything about hockey, so...
They have hockey in England, right, Matt? Yeah, that's big.
Yeah, we play it on grass. I'm pretty good at it.
Grass hockey?
Field
what
hockey,
kind
I
of
believe
foolish
you guys
mistake
call it.
Is that?
Well, it's kind of the same, but less falling over, and it's good though. Super violent, less padding, so you know.
I thought they called that football.
No, we're men over here, so we play our sports without pads.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah. Man. Anyway, speaking of men and pads, and touching each other. So they had an event, and they flew
this is
in.
So weird.
Isn't it just? I thought what we were talking about before the podcast was weird, but yeah, okay. So it couldn't be called All-Star Extravaganza without them flying in at least one talent from Japan. And they flew in three, I guess, but only one of them is actually Japanese. And I could be talking out my ass, so I'm just going to read through the card. I think that holds up. Anyway, Kushida, one half of Time Splitters with Alex Shelley. Matt Waters, former favorite wrestler ever. Former. That's right. Step your game up, Alex Shelley. Steal that spotlight back. Anyway, Alex Shelley wasn't there. But Kushida was, and he defeated Adam Page with a corkscrew moonsault. I'm not sure why Adam Page gets the nod in that, because wasn't it a triple threat? It was originally going to be Adam Page and Silas Young. Winner goes through into the tournament, loser faces Kushida, but then it changed into a triple threat or something. I don't know how this worked out, but Kushida's a lot of fun. So
listen, do you really want QT Marshall involved in that match?
The only thing I want QT Marshall involved in is videos wherein he
is not booked.
White Truth Martini lies to him about the date of events so that he says he's already booked. And
Okay.
That's all I'm after.
I was actually kind of hoping he would do... I don't know, beating Adam Page, who just signed with Ring of Honor, I guess. I kind of wanted to see Kushida face someone else, but everyone else was already taken on the card, so I guess it was just a... by chance, it'd be Adam Page. Not saying that the match was bad, because Adam Page, he's a young talent. He's pretty great. So, I'm looking forward to it.
As am I. Is Ari. Is Ari looking forward to seeing Kushida defeat Adam Page with a corkscrew moonsault?
Okay. Yes. I'll go with yes.
You are looking forward to seeing that with your own eyes.
At some point.
Are you not going to immediately send Ring of Honor some money so that you can watch this event as soon as it is available on digital versatile disc?
No.
No? What are we all doing here, guys? This is the podcast of honor.
Ari prefers video on demand. That's what he prefers.
I prefer video in my mind. I prefer imagining this event.
Okay.
Ring of Honor, step up your game. Get it downloaded to our brains immediately.
That's right.
Welcome to Imaginary Wrestling Federation. And our next match is going to feature... Anyway, there's not really a lot to say about that match. It's a guest talent who is talented defeating a young talent who is also talented. Yay. But something we can talk about, because it's the Ring of Honor title tournament, which, big ramifications for the entire history of Ring of Honor, as we will be crowning a new champion soon. Tommaso Ciampa defeated Silas Young with his devastating finishing maneuver, Project Ciampa, which I've got to say, if I've just come back from a bad knee injury, I probably wouldn't continue to use moves that put a lot of stress on my knees, but I'm not Thomas Penmanship. Ciampa wins. Not a surprise. He is the big bad beast who is tearing through everyone who isn't called Michael Elgin since his return. We talked extensively in our preview of the tournament about, the possibility of Ciampa winning it all, going to the finals, etc., etc. So I wouldn't say this is a surprise. On he goes towards somewhere near the finals. Ari, do you have any particular thoughts about this result? This is fantastic audio quality. You don't get discussion like this anywhere else. The Wrestling Observer, fuck those guys. We've got ums coming straight from you.
Why it's old Chris? I was trying to work on those on Twitter. Look, I like Ciampa, so I like that he is advanced, and I just find it particularly funny that on the same evening that the TV show airs, where Silas Young wins a match to get into the tournament, he is eliminated. So that's creating a time paradox and destroying the entire.
Just wait till we get to the main event, Ari. It will blow your mind.
My mind has already been blown, apparently.
Yes, the DeLorean, because you're not going to do it for this main event.
As evidenced by earlier inability to sleep. Alright, so anyway, I think Ciampa is making it into the Final Four anyway, so it was pretty obvious, he was featured on one of the TV tapings, with Steen and Elgin and Bennett. So these guys are going to be featured. They're making it far. Good for them. Hooray.
Yes. Chris, can I get an opinion from you that doesn't feature you giggling like a schoolgirl for 3.5 minutes, please?
Sure. I actually kind of agree, though. Ciampa is the beast right now in Ring of Honor. He's going to go forward. My guilty little pleasure was to see Silas Young and Michael Elgin tear it up again as they have an AEW in Ring of Honor, but Ciampa makes sense. He's obviously going to be, as Ari said, in the Final Four, so I'm sure this match was great, though. I read two different live reports, one on, I believe, WrestlingForum.com and the other on ProWrestlingNet, and both people said this match was pretty good, so I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah,
Yeah, I'm glad that you are, and I look forward to hearing your feedback after you've seen it. In another match with a lot more controversy, it's time for serious voice here. Michael Bennett versus BJ Whitmer. It did not have a finish because towards what I hope was the end of the match, if they were just throwing this out in the first 2 minutes, that's kind of crazy. But Mike Bennett used a power driver on BJ Whitmer on the apron. Miscommunication, didn't brace right, who knows. But basically, BJ was pretty injured, and he had to be stretched out. It took 10 to 15 minutes to get him out of there, and there was a hushed silence over the crowd. Many wrestlers from the back came out, they turned the cameras off, etc., and he was taken to hospital. They've been tweeting updates since it happened, and the last one I saw said that he's still undergoing tests and whatnot, but they are hoping he'll be released at some point today. I don't know if there has been an update since then, because I've been out for the last few hours. But
apparently his vertebrae is not broken. He seems to be okay, in terms of all of that. But yeah, they're going to hold him for a little bit longer. But it's obviously much better than anything, imaginable at this point when that kind of stuff happens and you're taking a pile driver directly onto your neck, it could have been a hell of a lot worse than it is apparently. So that's a good thing.
Well, yeah, BJ Whitmer is no stranger to pretty gruesome injuries. His history with Jimmy Jacobs alone, pretty insane. Obviously, we, like every human being in the world, wishes BJ a speedy recovery, and maybe stick to the mat wrestling. Maybe no more high spots ever again, because you're a lucky dude at this point.
It's scary because, having been a part of, or not a part of, but I've been witness to a number of these times when BJ Whitmer almost killed himself. And, of course, it was just the final battle this past December where he took that horrific bump from Charlie Haas through a table. And, honestly, I don't know how he didn't die then. And even before that, years ago, all the BJ Whitmer, Jimmy Jacobs stuff, the accidental fall in Detroit, I wasn't there for that. But obviously seeing that on DVD is not a very pleasant sight. But I was also at the In Your Face show in 2006, where they're at the New Yorker and he gets powerbombed, or they powerbomb each other through into the crowd. And obviously first and foremost, as you said, Matt, you want to just hope for the best for him and hope he pulls through without any real major injuries, no major medical costs, that kind of stuff. But it's, I think at some point there needs to be a discussion. Maybe now is not the time for it, but there needs to be a discussion about these apron moves and the risks that the wrestlers take. And obviously there's been an escalation of these moves on the apron for the last couple of years. And, it's always very devastating looking. Some of the moves are safer than others, but you had Paul London get his face bashed in and had a concussion by Davey Richards a few months ago, and now this. And so, maybe, like I said, maybe this podcast isn't the time to go over that, but I think there needs to be a debate on some of these moves on the apron and the wrestler's safety about it. And, certainly a pile. On the one hand, I look at the PWG shows I've been watching and they've been fantastic. And they've just been, these are from last year. They're doing moves that haven't even been done in other promotions at this point. And, some of the moves are just so fantastic and so breathtaking, but they're also very high risk. And here, third match on the card, you're doing a pile driver on the apron. I want Ring of Honor shows to be great in quality, but I would like them to hit that level that PWG has basically been on since like 2010. And, they've become the dominant premier, independent promotion, having the best matches. But at one point, is that worth the risk of somebody's, you know, getting a permanent injury, you know, death or something like that? So, you know, it's a lot to ask of anyone. And so someone like BJ Whitmer, who's taken a ton of risks in Ring of Honor, was making a comeback. Not necessarily my favorite wrestler to watch, but at the same time, certainly don't want him hurt. I don't want him taking unnecessary risks. And, you know, he's made his bones. You know, he doesn't have to do this kind of stuff to get the fans to appreciate him. And I really hope that when he recovers and when he comes back to Ring of Honor, that he stays away from this kind of stuff, that they don't try to exploit it for extra heat or whatever, but you just never know what's going to happen with that kind of stuff. So obviously it's good to see everyone sort of pull around him, all the wrestlers tweeting their thoughts and stuff. And to get the immediate updates as fast as possible is really good, really positive. And, you know, just hopefully he'll recover as quickly as possible and safe, and he'll be as safe as possible in the future. But you just never know.
Yeah. You raised the point about PWG, and you also mentioned that Davey Richards, Paul London incident. And I remember when I saw Eddie Edwards do the foot stomp off the top rope onto the apron in PWG. I think it was the Dojo Bros versus the Super Smash Brothers. And I was amazed that there were no injuries there, like almost the exact same spot. They do multiple moves on the apron. I'm amazed pretty much every show there isn't some kind of serious injury. I guess they've just got the luck out there in California. But also out there in California is Chris GST. And Ari touched on briefly on like the nature of moves like the pile driver. And I believe we got a question sent in about just that, did we not?
We did. It was in general, I believe it was about the pile driver, but it was clearly about, are moves still worth the risk for the crowd reaction, particularly for certain spots? And I think this pretty much answers the question, is that when this kind of a situation happens, no, it's not worth it. I question, obviously I'm not a professional wrestler, and I don't think anyone, I've seen a lot of negativity towards, you know, Bennett for this situation, but you know what, it could happen, and it could have been anyone. Not saying that negates the situation, but Bennett's been using the pile driver as a finisher for quite a while now, along with the box office smash. So it's not like he doesn't know how to do it correctly. Maybe it is, and I've heard this from numerous wrestlers and interviews, that when they're nervous, that's sometimes when more mistakes happen, instead of just being kind of, you know, more fluid in the match and just letting particular spots happen. And maybe they were just nervous because this was on the apron, because I don't think the location has anything to do with the actual injury, because say this pile driver had occurred in the middle of the ring, I think BJ Whitmer would have been just as injured. You know, I mean, you know, everyone was pointing to Owen Hart and Steve Austin. Maybe the impact on the apron itself was harder than it would have been in the middle of the ring, sure, but I don't think that, they shouldn't do moves on the apron anymore, unless, and I think that's where the nervousness comes in. So maybe just being nervous and performing the move, that's what causes the accidents, not necessarily because it's on the apron, because we've seen plenty of moves done on the apron for years. And if you were to cross the percentages off, I don't think a lot of them happen.
I think some of the issue with the apron is the space.
Right, and that's what I mean when it comes in with the nervousness. Since there's such a lack of space, maybe that's why some of the wrestlers, even obviously veteran ones, and I'm not saying that Bennett's a veteran, but, you know, Davey Richards, he's been doing this a long time, and maybe that lack of space is what causes some of the nervousness and then causes these accidents. Because both of you guys brought up PWG. I believe during the Callahan-Drake-Younger match, there were tons of apron spots, and I thought those guys killed each other. They were okay. They're still fine.
They are not okay. He stapled a dollar bill to both of his cheeks, for God's sake.
You got to make that money.
You got to make that money.
Anyway, I'm not as harsh on Bennett about it, because he's been doing this for a while. And
I'm not prepared to blame Bennett at all.
No, I'm not saying either.
Henry, I'm not going to blame...
I'm talking about the negativity I've seen around the internet, and of course it's the internet.
I'm not going to blame Bennett or Whitmer in the same way I'm not going to blame, you know, D'Lo Brown and draws for what happened. You know, these things, you know, sometimes they happen, you know. And actually, most injuries, I mean, you hear that the most injuries happen on the most innocuous of moves. So
right, this yeah, guys straining their ankles on power slams, and you're like, God, I take 1,000 power slams all the time. But
taking a bump the wrong way, hitting your head extra hard. I mean, you know, it's stuff like this will happen. So, I mean, obviously, in terms of the PWG ROH comparison, I mean, it's pretty obvious Ring of Honor has been on a hot streak with the last few shows, and the tournament is really providing, and then obviously All-Star Extravaganza 5. You know, these are high-profile shows with, you know, basically the best kind of top-to-down rosters that Ring of Honor has had in quite a while, and matches, too. So I think you're talking about, you know, for the wrestlers, they really want to bring their best out. They want to pull out these extra spots and these extra moments to get the crowd excited and pumped and really get the show over and get themselves over. So, I mean, you know, even on the third match to do that kind of spot, I guess to them, they thought it was worth it for whatever they were going to get to. And it just happened to go down just the wrong way. And, you know, unfortunately for both of them, you know, here's the thing, you know, for the apron moves in terms of space and stuff and awkwardness, you know, when I was at the DGUSA show, you know, there was not a lot of space between the barricade and the ring. And then there was stuff on top of the ceiling that sort of like made it difficult, a little bit more difficult to do high flying. So there are adjustments that need to be made. And I think it's that comfort. I mean, you said nervousness, Chris, I would say also comfort zone. You know, there's that whole idea of, you know, maybe you've done a pile driver or a head drop move 100 times, you know, but when you do it on the apron, if that's only one time you do it, that's, you know, that takes you out of your comfort zone. And, you know, you're also upside down, you know, whereas, you know, with Kevin Steen doing, let's say, his powerbomb move onto the apron, you know, right, he's picking you up, you're upside down for like just a split second. And then you're basically taking a bump that's the equivalent of when somebody will shoulder block you into the stage or the guardrail, you know, ram you into it. You know, you don't have to take a hard bump, but when you're upside down, you know, you also lose an aspect of control if you're not properly bracing yourself. And, you know, I actually don't want to say too much more because, you know, I don't want to, you know, having not been an actual wrestler, I don't want to go through the ins and outs of it. But to me, this is what it seems like. The issue is, you know, just the comfort zone, the space issues, and then just not, you know, the bracing of it. So shit, it was not good at that point. So that's sort of my take on what you guys were just talking about.
Right. There's not really a lot more to say here. I mean, we, as I said, BJ Whitmer, get well soon. Mm-hmm. Nobody's Absolutely. Fault. You know, dangerous moves, they're going to be a part of indie wrestling. Like, it's not as if they're doing... Well, yes, exactly. But, I mean, you know, I don't think people complain that, like, the WWE don't do any dangerous moves ever or anything. And it's just like, well, you know, you've got to minimize risk, but then they also want to please the fans. Nobody's putting a gun to their head and saying, do a, you know, 450 knee drop pile driver, Canadian destroy. But it's a difficult subject. It's one for men richer and cleverer than the three of us. We've touched on it. Let's move on. So the Ring of Honor World title tournament continues, and in another first round match, Roderick Strong, who has been on quite a little hot streak, he defeated World Television Champion Matt Taven. Sick kick followed by his Orange Crush backbreaker, aka complete and utter destruction. That move is devastatingly cool. TV champion takes another clean loss. I guess Roddy's gonna, I guess this wasn't officially a proving ground match, but if you get a clean win over a champion, you get a title shot, was my thoughts. Roddy rolls on. You know, we didn't really talk that much about Roderick Strong when we were talking about the preview of the tournament. I don't think he has much chance of going much further than he now has progressed. But, you know, good old Strong Rod is always game for a tournament. He's won a couple of DDT Fours. He made it to the finals of Ebola. He won Survival of the Fittest in Ring of Honor to, you know, bring up something more relevant to his chances in Ring of Honor. Yeah, I like Roddy. I like when he wins clean. He's got fantastic moveset. And, you know, it'd be nice if there was something for him to do in Ring of Honor since the whole House of Truth thing disappeared. There is a sort of mini storyline going with Adam Cole, and I guess he's kind of turned face now a bit. Yeah, anyway, Roderick Strong beats Matt Taven. Chris, what are your immediate thoughts from this?
I think it, you know, it kind of shows what Ring of Honor thinks of their television championship. I mean, it, not that, I mean, if you remember, Roderick Strong is a former Triple Crown champion in Ring of Honor, so he should beat Matt Taven. Obviously, we haven't seen the match yet, so we don't even know how strong, no pun intended, Matt Taven looked. So, you know, I'm willing to give it a chance. Then when we get later on the results, we can say who Strong is facing in the tournament next. So, yeah, I agree with you, Matt. He's probably not going much further.
Yeah, and it's not like they've tried to tell us that Matt Taven is a world-beating main event-level talent. Like, this guy won his contract, and then not long after that was television champion. So, while, you know, I mean, the WWE jobs out their champions and people complain about that all the time, but Matt Taven has not been booked as a main event talent. He's been booked as a promising prospect who, you know, is succeeding quickly, but Roderick Strong is kind of as close as there is to, like, the man around these parts. So I wouldn't say it hurts Matt Taven to lose to Roderick Strong. I mean, it'd be nice. I don't know. He's still champion, and I think he's going to continue to be champion for a while. And if they have a title match, I'm sure Matt Taven will go over. But I don't think it's that big a deal that he loses here. Ari?
Well, no. I like the subplot with the, you know, Strong being a former mentor. Or sorry, True Martini being a former mentor to Roderick Strong, and a connection that probably played a role in the match. If not just the psychological aspect of that. So yeah, I'm fine with this. And in fact, you know, the theory was always going to be that, you know, Taven would be out very early because, you know, it made sense for him to be in the tournament being a champion, but for someone to go over him, either, you know, I figured it might be someone else, like, who would be in a TV title division, like, not Strong, but the way the bracketing worked out is that, whether it was going to be the next round or this round, Taven wasn't going to make it past the quarterfinals. So I am fine with him being ousted early. No problem at all.
Cool. So we spoke about Paul London a little bit earlier and how he got his face smushed by Davey Richards. And that kept him out of his scheduled match the following evening, which was going to be against Michael Elgin. Luckily enough, both men are in the ROH World Title Tournament. And they're both available to work on this lovely evening in Toronto. And wouldn't you know it, what are the chances? Michael Elgin and Paul London, they drew each other in the first round by complete random chance. Elgin, of course, beat Paul London because Michael Elgin has been the, you know, from the moment they announced this tournament, he has been sort of the odds-on favorite. He is, of course, most likely going all the way to the finals, if not winning it all. Paul London is a sort of guest talent. He's a veteran. He's a name to put a little attention, to mix things up a bit. And I'm sure he doesn't mind putting over the young beast that is Michael Elgin, who wins with his patented combo of the buckle bomb, the back fist, and then the Elgin bomb, spiral power bomb, whatever you want to call it. I'm sure this match was awesome because a lot of people, including myself, were looking forward to it and were kind of disappointed when it didn't happen earlier this year, but we get the return match in the same city it was supposed to happen in as well. Yeah, I expect nothing but great things from this match. Michael Elgin almost always has the best match on any card he is booked on. I doubt anything has changed here. Ari?
Yeah, it was reported that this was a great match, possible match of the year, contender, first or second best match of the show. So, yeah, I think these guys were definitely willing to show, you know, everything that they were going to do in that first match, and, you know, amp it up even more. I think they really wanted to give the crowd, you know, their money's worth because they couldn't do the match last time. So the place that this, I believe, was the last match before intermission. So that's usually a spot where you sort of end the first half on a very high note, and I think that's what this match did. So Elgin going over makes sense. I think he's obviously going very far in the tournament, and they needed to get to the Elgin Anderson match that's going to happen at Manhattan Mayhem 5 in a couple weeks. So that's going to be the rematch from when Anderson beat Elgin, and I think this time Elgin will go over there too. So I mean, it's very clear he's going to make it at least to the semifinals in my mind. As long as he keeps showing these great showings, then absolutely that's what should be happening.
Christopher.
Yeah, he's got to be a favorite. Obviously, I think he's other than Cole, he's my other favorite to win. I'm sure this match was awesome. I'm looking forward to watching it. Interesting note, it was said that even though this was, you know, the intermission main event, I guess it was one of the better matches, as you said, Ari. I think that could it possibly that if they had that first match, and obviously no one knew what was going to happen with Briscoe. At least I don't think they knew that far back, you know, when this first was being booked. But it's kind of funny how it has all worked out in the end that, you know, Elgin and London had a chance here in Toronto to have a great match. And then next up is Elgin versus Anderson, which gets to follow up on their previous match. So it's kind of cool how that all worked out within the booking. So I'm looking forward to it. Obviously, I think London has – I don't want to say he served his purpose because I want to see him back in Ring of Honor. You know what I mean? Maybe teaming with Brian Kendrick and maybe in another form. But I don't want this to be the last time we see him in Ring of Honor, at least not in the short term. Is what I mean. You know, obviously he can come back, heck, two, three years down the line. But I mean in the short term. I want to see London still in Ring of Honor.
I was going to say, I think you do London Kendrick against the American Wolves on a pay-per-view, to be honest. But
that's what I would have said. I definitely think Kendrick and London as a tag team has some juice to it, especially since they're going to focus on the tag team division for the next few months. Yeah, definitely bring them in for a few more spots.
Yeah, I mean, in PWG, when they unexpectedly teamed up again, God, that was almost 3 years ago now, wasn't it? To face the Young Bucks, the building exploded. So people, and, you know, you type in London Kendrick on YouTube, you will see a million fan-made sort of tribute videos to that tag team. So people are definitely wanting to see them. And, you know, now that Davey and London have some unfortunate history, you know, you've got reason to do it. But speaking of tag teams and the revamped tag division, we have a three-way tag team match, including guest stars the Young Bucks. You may know them from other companies where they hold belts and allegedly don't tell people that they're going to appear in Ring of Honor. They were in a match with Adrenaline Rush of ACH and TD Thomas, a.k.a. Tadarius Thomas. And also the CNC Wrestle Factory, Caprice Coleman and Cedric Alexander. Three insanely athletic teams doing all kind of flips and stuff. I liked the sounds of that. And Adrenaline Rush go over when ACH hits a 450 splash on Cedric. He's known to do a 450 off the second rope, so I'd imagine that's where it occurred. Good for them. Go ACH, getting a win. Ring of Honor, you know, they are very lucky to have gotten ACH on this contract, and they have a tradition of signing up young talent and then jobbing them out for a long time. Everyone complains, and then they push them, and you know they do things how they do things. You can argue it all works out for the best, but it'd be nice if they maybe took advantage of the fact they have ACH, and other companies would very much like to have ACH. So hopefully this is not a one-off fluke win here. They go over CNC, who seemingly are right on the cusp of winning the titles every few months and then never quite manage it. And the Young Bucks, quite frankly, the best tag team of the last decade, probably. I wouldn't say I'm surprised by the result, but I'm pleased by it. Chris, what do you think?
Well, I don't know. Ari, in any of your reports, was there a count on how many super kicks win this match? Because I'm going to assume we almost maybe hit double digits, you know, when you have Cedric Alexander, the Bucks. And I think Thomas, you know, he does these weird, you know, it's supposed to be his capoeira kicks, but some of them I'm like, dude, that was almost a super kick. Come on now, just extend a little bit more and it would have been. But I'm assuming that there are tons of them hit. This match, I think, probably, I don't know, I would have put, if it wasn't Elgin and London, I would have put this before the intermission just to bring the crowd back up. But this coming back from intermission also makes sense because you bring the crowd back in. And yeah, everything you said, Matt, is spot on. At CNC Wrestle Factory, they're kind of there. They're like the gateway. You know, if you beat them, you get a tag title shot. So, and I'm glad that ACH and Thomas did that. And then as for the Young Bucks, they have no contracts, so we could see them back at any time. And, you know, they work for everyone at this point, which is great.
They like money. Audiences like them.
That makes sense. Yeah, they love the super kick party. So I couldn't tell you, Chris, the actual number in this match. But, I mean, I just saw them last week for DGUSA at the Highline, and they wrestled the Inner City Machine Guns, Ricochet and Rich Swann, and there must have been at least 12, maybe 15, upwards of 15 super kicks in that match. So I'm just waiting for, you know, Ring of Honor to have ACH start singing All Night Long as his entrance music, and then they can pretend to have, you know, TD and ACH. They can be the new Inner City Machine Guns, and you can have that match in Ring of Honor.
There you go. Can't wait for it.
Yeah, that match was fantastic. The Young Bucks are, as Matt said, they are the best tag team on the independent scene. They are just amazingly athletic. It doesn't even look like they try, and they are great at doing what they do. And then the heat that they get by their behavior and their actions in the match, their interactions with the crowd, it's amazing. And that's what makes them not being signed to contract even more shocking. That Ring of Honor didn't use them for so long, even more stupid. But I hope this is a sign of better things to come with, as far as the Bucks being used in Ring of Honor, because, I mean, they, you know, this whole contractual stuff on the independent things, we've talked about this and other people have talked about this, but, man, the Bucks are worth every little bit of what they charge. They're worth putting up with, as far as not coming into a contract. Bring them in, contract or no contract. I'm not saying put the titles on them. I'm just saying use them. And so you don't have to, it doesn't have to be, you don't have to wait for an all-star event to bring these guys in. Bring them in all the time because they make the show.
I don't think it's an issue of what they charge. I think it's the fact it's whatever they charge plus flying them in. And while for an event like this, we don't have the numbers on. I don't run a
restaurant. It's worth it to California.
Chris and Matt, it's worth it to me.
If they lived on the East Coast, you better believe they would be booked every damn show in the world, but they live in California, so there are cost issues, and evidently...
But they're in Toronto. They got flown to Toronto.
This is a show where they're spending more money than average because it's an all-star extravaganza. And, like, yes, they will attempt to... I don't think at any point Ring of Honor have said, we don't like the Young Bucks. They've just said, we don't want to pay to have them on every show we do in small backwater towns and whatnot. So
New York is not a backwater town, Pat.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll fly them into New York. But, you know, I don't think they want to fly... I don't want to offend people who listen from other cities other than, like, the big ones. But you know what I'm talking about when I use this voice, right, Ari?
Sure. No.
Cool. Right, sure. Then. Brian Kendrick was mentioned about 10 minutes ago. He wrestled. Kevin Steen was mentioned in this podcast. He wrestled against Brian Kendrick. It's like Lost. It all comes together in the end, except it didn't.
Yeah, I was just about to say. Or it doesn't.
So Kevin Steen in Canada, wearing pink and white, won a match for the Sharpshooter. Weird, right? I like Brian Kendrick a lot. I like Kevin Steen a lot. I like when those two occupy the same ring a lot, so I can't imagine I wouldn't like this match a lot. Ari, does all of that make sense? Am I right to have those opinions?
Sure. You know, I read some reports saying that, you know, it was fun early on with them doing some shenanigans and stuff, but I wouldn't expect this to be as good as Elgin London. You know,
well, no.
The other side of the ledger coin, but it's Kevin Steen, and it's face Kevin Steen in Toronto, so that's going to be fun to see.
Yeah. I liked what they did in PWG together when they had the Honey against London and Generica. Anyway, Chris, any particular thoughts on Steen and Kendra?
I was just kind of hoping that Steen was really actually paying homage to the Anvil, but apparently that wasn't really happening, which is a shame. But I'm sure this was a fun match, and, you know, Kendrick, he's reinvented himself. I know, Ari, you know, you said you went to the Dragon Gate, you know, show, and Kendrick is no longer, I guess he is, because I don't think he's under Ring of Honor contract, so I guess he could technically work again with Dragon Gate, with Gabe and Dragon Gate US.
Well, you remember the match at WrestleCon he had with Swan to start that show. That's the second night of the whole WrestleCon, the first DG USA event, and it was really good.
Yeah, exactly. And I think he's kind of having this resurgence in his career. Mm-hmm. He's running a school out here. I'm hoping we get another one of those tournaments that he's wanting to run. So I'm sure this was a fun match. I didn't expect him to get past Steen. And now that we're talking about, you know, we're going to see Steen versus Strong, I don't expect Strong to get past Steen either. So, because Steen has to be in the final four, I would imagine, of this tournament.
I agree. Probably. I think Kendrick at this point, you know, I'm not saying he's sitting on a personal bank account of millions and millions of dollars, but I think he's made his money and he's willing at this point to just do business with whoever he feels is most fitting at the time. You know, he's got his school to run, and DGUSA gave them a nice rub, featured some of his guys. So
he's not Matt Hardy, and he has millions and millions of $100 bills. No?
No.
That's a shame. No.
Matt Hardy will be back, folks. Scum is not done. This is an ongoing conspiracy like the Brutus Shaft.
Matt Hardy was... I don't know if you guys read this on somewhere. It was posted.
The Observer?
I think it was 411. Matt Hardy stopped at the border or something like that. Or no, stopped in TSA because he was carrying too much cash on hand. Man,
he's a baller, isn't he? He's like Money Mayweather now.
It is difficult to be Matt Hardy. Oh, man, I got so much cash, I got stopped by
money,
security.
Money, yeah, he's got that money. Money, yeah.
Speaking of money, Adam Cole, that guy has money. He defeated Jay Lethal in a quarterfinal match, not a first-round match. Because Adam Cole beat Mark Briscoe and Jay Lethal beat Sanjay Dutt on the previous show. These guys are one round ahead of everyone else, and there's a reason for that, which I guess we'll touch on maybe. But not an unexpected result. You know, Jay Lethal had his big run of his killer instinct against Kevin Steen. I'm not saying he's done with the world title picture, but his moment of absolute prominence has passed for now, and Adam Cole is seemingly destined for big things in the main event scene. I think we predicted an Adam Cole, Michael Elgin finals. I can't remember how the bracket shakes out, whether that's actually possible or not. But
I think it is possible.
Okay, then.
Yeah.
Good.
I think Elgin's on one side, and Cole and Steen are on the same side? Something like that.
Okay. No, it's Cole and Ciampa is likely.
Oh, okay.
It's going to be Ciampa and Bennett, most likely. I guess I don't know what they'll do with the no contest thing from the Bennett-Whitmer bracket. But
right, Adam Cole would have faced the winner of that match.
No, Ciampa's fighting the winner. Well, it's Ciampa versus the winner of Michael Bennett, BJ Whitmer. The winner of that goes on to face Adam Cole.
Yes.
I got the brackets right in front of me.
So right, there we go.
We will talk about this more at the end of the card about the future of the tournament. But for right now, Adam Cole wins with the Florida Key. Good. I like that finisher. Well, I don't know if I like that finisher, but I like that they aren't forgetting that finisher exists. So Adam Cole beats Jay Lethal. Yes, that happened. Ari, what do you think about that?
I like it.
You like it. Now, Chris, whether you like it or not, you are also going to maybe explain why this happened here, unless you don't want to.
No, I questioned it on the weekly newscast with Dez in my ignorance, not really looking to the future. And I want to credit Sean, who commented that the Cole Lethal quarterfinal match took place in Toronto basically because Cole, he's doing the Wrestling Cares show out here in California where I'm at. And this is not much of a spoiler now. BJ Whitmer is also on the same Wrestling Cares show. So it made sense that they had to hold the quarterfinal in Toronto, and then of course Manhattan Mayhem has a lot of other quarterfinal matches as well. So that just makes sense. And so there we go. I don't know. Jay Lethal is still, he's just there in Ring of Honor, and
just there.
I just want more out of him. You know, he's what was it? He got that angry part of him, and he was kicking guys in the balls and spitting on people, and it's like, okay, and now what? Now what are you doing? Nothing. Mm. You're losing, apparently. So, I don't know.
He was super over in PWG, revisiting the Black Machismo gimmick. And,
I don't want him to have to rely on that. Because, it's fun to break that out, but that does not fit in Ring of Honor. I think he did at the Night of Hoopla, but it just doesn't fit. I mean, like, going forward in Ring of Honor, he should not be Black Machismo.
No, but, you know, I don't know. What do you do with Jay Lethal? Who even knows? Good wrestler.
Street champion. Oh, right.
You haven't worked with Sanjay Dutt a million more times, probably, because that's historically worked out well for them both.
Is Sonya Deville coming to Ring of Honor? Because they can fight over her again.
Oh, they've got a hotter version called Scarlett Bordeaux.
All right, guys, moving on, please.
Moving on to the main event of the evening.
The Time Paradox is here.
Yes, everyone, get in your DeLorean. It was a World Tag Team title match. The American Wolves challenge Forever Hooligans, who are the tag team champions. Spoilers, people. When does that match happen? When do they win the titles off of Red Dragon? When is that supposed to occur?
All right, that aired the same night. Crazy.
Oh, did it? Oh, okay.
Almost the exact same time.
Almost at the exact same time.
So they won. Pick on your station and your affiliate.
So they won the belts, teleported to Toronto, and then lost them to. I mean, have we got a record for the shortest title reign in history? Does this count? I mean.
Depending on the air date, because, I mean, we should be used to when the title change actually happened and then the air date of. But still, yeah, it's pretty weird. I mean, we're recording this on Sunday, and some people, they get their Ring of Honor on Sunday. So,
yeah, true. Sorry about all of this. I'll tell you what, we'll just put this out on, like, Thursday. We won't. So, yeah, the American Wolves are champions again, people. Davey and Eddie get the belts off of the Forever Hooligans.
And apparently they have new fur vests. I don't know why that was important, but
fur vests. Because they're wolves! Oh,
obviously. They're the American Wolves!
American Wolves!
I'm assuming they look like the one that Richards was wearing in New Japan when he was making like those short appearances there, and then I guess Eddie just now has one also. I'm assuming. I don't know that.
Yep. Probably. So they win with the good old reliable powerbomb. Back cracker, combo, backstabber, whatever you want to call it, lung blower, any of these names are good. That combo that seemingly every tag team in the world has used at some point, but the Wolves have used it quite a lot as well. And Davey gets pretty good elevation, so fair play. So they're champions again, Ring of Honor. Didn't take long since their reformation did it. And so they are playing hot potato with those belts. They fly in the Forever Hooligans. Everyone's like, they're not going to give the belts to a outside talent, kind of. Oh, yeah, they are. And then they immediately lose them. So it's all worked out.
I'm kind of okay with that, though, because they're hot teams. You know what I mean? It's not like this is boring. Yeah. This is kind of exciting. It's not like – I think it brings a little bit of excitement. I think that Ring of Honor – and obviously I have no word on this at all, but – it seems to me that they have this new philosophy where their main events, if you look at the last two spoiler, you know, well now no longer spoilers for one, but you look at the TV tapings, it's the main events that are really awesome. And they're capturing the people with that. So it's obvious that they're emphasizing their TV matches a little bit more, particularly the main events.
And then if it's a new philosophy, that's something they've always tried to do.
No. Well, compared to the, shall we say, earlier Sinclair Ring of Honor TV, that's what I'm comparing it to. And I'm not even saying that that is something that that you can say they didn't emphasize, but it just appears that way that the last two tapings, there's a little bit more emphasis on having the main events of the TV tapings be important, or not important, but be better quality. So when they had the title change, I was like, oh, I'm really looking forward to watching it. And when I did, I was like, that was pretty great because you didn't expect it. And then, of course, now they're no longer champions. But, I mean, how long could you have had the Forever Hooligans be champions? Maybe until Manhattan Mayhem. But, right. You know, who knows?
Yeah, I'm certainly not going to say that I thought that Romero and Kozlov were going to win the tag titles. But it does make sense. And what they're doing now makes sense. They kind of even took their hand when they said they were going to concentrate more on the tag team division this summer. And you know, I think this whole cycle gave me flashbacks to Round Robin Challenge 3 when there were three title changes in one show, and I believe the titles went back to the first team. It was Second City Saints, Prophecy, and I believe the Briscoes. And yep. I think this was it.
Happened to the Second City Saints?
I don't know. Guys. Some guy named CM Punk. Whatever happened to him?
Complete burnout. He's never going to make it.
Exactly.
So Cole Cabana isn't even with anyone. He's done nothing. He just talks to people in his basement. I mean, come on.
His studio.
Apartment.
To me, this title change cycle makes sense, and I think it's working. And yeah, I think they may very well complete the chain, which is to get the titles back to Red Dragon. You know, wow. The Wolves contract situation has still not been resolved. I think part of the reason why Red Dragon lost the titles to the Hooligans in the first place was because they couldn't get into Toronto. And, you know, we don't have to go into the particulars about why, but I think most people, they know their sources or they know where to tune in to hit the Google search engine, can figure that one out about why that, you know, they weren't there, but why they are in Manhattan. So I think we get to the match that they were heading towards anyway, which was the Wolves versus Red Dragon in a, you know, obviously a grudge match with the titles on the line now. And, what's his name? Bobby Fish has already been making so many statements about he's going to get rid of Davey Richards from the promotion. And if Davey Richards and Eddie Edwards are moving on, the storyline would make sense for Red Dragon to go over and go over big time on them. And if Richards is still sticking around, like the cliche is, he usually says, I'm leaving, I'm retiring, still sticks around anyway, then it's just another way to continue this storyline and continue the feud between the two teams. So this was said to be a great match, a phenomenal match. So this is definitely what they wanted to do in the summer, focus on the tag division, give some great main events, and it's going to continue. So this is all good in my book.
He's going to go fight fires with kicks to the head.
He is. All right, I hope while you're at Manhattan Mayhem, you get a chance to hear Kozlov sing a national anthem, because that'd be great.
I would like to hear him sing the Swedish national anthem.
Yes.
Should just do a different one every show.
Yeah. He can be Al Snow, but in this decade.
Sure.
And when Al Snow was all the countries of Europe?
I thought that was Donald Brown. Right.
No, that was Al Snow. He came out as a different... They remixed his music in different languages, and he was all the countries in Europe. And then also, like, Japan. Like, oh, okay. Just me? Okay, fine. We're going to move on. Manhattan Mayhem 5, New York City, August 17th, 2013. Yeah, that's right. With a 7:30 bell time. There you go, anyone who's attending. I helped you. I think we're going to run through this quite quickly because
that is
okay, Ari. I don't know.
You helped me so much.
Have you ever been to a Ring of Honor show?
I've never been to Manhattan. Would you believe?
Do you need the address, Ari? Because we have the address if you need it.
It is Hammerstein Ballroom.
Actually, that was my 311. It's my cousin's.
Would you please not interrupt me when I'm trying to give you information? 311 West 34th Street. Man, American address is a weird Manhattan, New York. Now, if you put that into your phone, or Google Maps or other competing map-based
maybe
services,
even the WWE app, if you know how to download that.
Yeah,
well it's
you
very
can see...
simple, Michael Cole. All you do is you go to the Google App Store and you search for WWE, then you tap the WWE app and look at that, it's installing on your phone, and there it is. Now you can open it up.
Yep. And now, if you've done that correctly and you found your way to the Hammerstein Ballroom in New York, then you will be in for a night of Ring of Honor wrestling action. And as I said, I think we're going to just kind of... Yes. We are going to talk about this, I think, in one massive glot, really, because we've kind of touched on a lot of the matches already. So I'll run through the whole card, and then we'll sort of break it down into cut bits. But anyway... the American Wolves will defend their newly won tag team titles against Red Dragon of Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly. And then we have the tournament going on, which will feature Machine Gun Carl Anderson against Michael Elgin, Roderick Strong against Kevin Steen, Tommaso Ciampa against, we assume, Mike Bennett. Yes, that's that. Also booked for the card, the Forever Hooligans, who I assume they're going to face ACH and TD Thomas. Another option would be the CNC Wrestle Factory. You've got Matt Taven booked. You've got Silas Young, Adam Page. I don't know if Ryan Kendrick and Paul London will be there or not, but...
I don't think they're promoted.
They're not on the poster, so you know what that means.
Well, then, yeah, definitely not going to be there. And then a special appearance by Prince Nana is happening, so.
Yes.
It's just confusing to look at. I can't really make matches out of who isn't booked, but I'm guessing Forever Hooligans versus Adrenaline Rush, or maybe they do a three-way match. Just constant. Maybe it's the X Division now, and everything's a three-way match.
Oh no!
And if you get pinned, you can't compete again. And given they've got an overblown roster already, it makes sense to have to keep bringing in new talents. Fucking TNA. Sorry. So we're predicting the Wolves lose the belts to Red Dragon, I believe. Yes.
Yes, that's what I think. Yeah.
Okay. And then the Wolves turn up in TNA and win the tag team titles and then have a million matches with...
They join Aces and Eights, Matt. Get it right. That's what's happening.
That's why they've got the fur on the vest now.
They did leather
vest. All makes sense. Oh my God. Chris, you're a genius.
Yep.
Craziness.
I don't like any of what just was said. yeah, I would imagine they have a really good match. I don't know if it main events, but... I doubt it does if Red Dragon, unless they just have this insanely long, stiff match that surprises everyone and is insane.
Well, Strong and Steen could. I would think, because it's the only title match that we know of on the show that's major, that I would think that has the main event, right?
I think that's a lock for a main event.
Okay, fine. I'm going to predict it goes really long and is insanely good and stiff, and they go over clean, and everyone's like, oh, wow. I didn't know that Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish had that in them. And it was like, oh, wow. And then Davey does a speech saying, you know, everything that happened between us, Kyle, I know we've got some bad blood, but I always knew you would make it, and blah, blah, blah. And then they're all shaking hands, and then Bobby Fish kicks Davey Richards in the face.
Actually, that would be great if they switched that up and Bobby Fish started doing post-match promos just to get people to hate him.
Amazing, actually. Bobby Fish just cuts promos. Oh, okay. So yeah, I think that's the main event. And then on the three quarterfinals that we have taking place, I would say Michael Elgin beats Carl Anderson to get his win back. Kevin Steen beats Roderick Strong just because he's of higher esteem. You know, Kevin Steen's path to redemption of winning the world title the right way and stuff. No scum, no heel tactics. Being an honorable champion now, he loves Ring of Honor again. And Tommaso Ciampa beats Mike Bennett, I would say, which would set up, I believe, as we said earlier, Ciampa versus Cole and Elgin versus Steen. They have some history. Steen had to use a package pile driver off the second rope, I believe, to beat him in a world title match before.
That was scary to watch.
Tell me about it. It's a big old boy taking a big old bump.
And here's some interesting food for thought, is if you get that match, it'll be 1 year since that match, since that title match where Kevin Steen and Michael Hogan.
There's
5 stars for me. Right, wasn't it up before Dishonor in September of last year?
Huh.
I think so.
Yeah, 1 year. I don't know if it's going to be one. It might not be 1 year to the day, but it'll be pretty close.
So that's what I'm talking about. Think of how crazy all this happenstance is. I mean, I'm assuming that Ring of Honor didn't know that it was the Briscoes.
Glory by Honor. I think it might be
wrong Honor. No, but I mean, think of how weird all this happenstance still works out, though. It's just
weird. They've taken this horribly bad situation with the Briscoes and turned it into some, and you know, London's injury and all these other things that. And they've turned it into a quite nice outcome. Like, you know, people talk trash about Ring of Honor and stuff, but there's a lot of buzz about this tournament, and all the matches thus far have reported to be good. There's a lot of interest in this. There's a surprise factor. We're guaranteed a new champion, and I think it's all working out quite nicely. And even if it's not 1 year to the day or whatever, it is kind of almost a year since they had that big match, and they've,
No. Right, it was, if I could just interrupt, it was Glory by Honor 11 in Mississauga, Ontario on, I believe it was October 13th, 2012. So there you go.
Okay, so
not quite a year, but almost.
Like 10 months. Anyway, they've had their history in places. They've wrestled in PWG and stuff, and I think they've been on opposite sides of tag matches, and they've tagged together and all of this. So yeah, I respect that. To be a very, very, very good match. But that's coming up later. Yeah.
I think the big piece of this that we're not mentioning is, and we talked about this a little bit off the show, that Prince Nana promo, guys.
I can't
get over it. Because
Nana's bringing some peoples in. It's going to get reals.
Exactly. And he's bringing, I mean, it has
and it's not Jimmy Rave, as it's always rumored to be Jimmy Rave, because, you know, they already brought him back, and he's gone again. So it's not him.
It's not going to be Necro Butcher, unfortunately. Which
I wish it. I can't, but I'm going to say it. I miss the Necro Butcher. It's happened. It's been long enough that I miss the Necro Butcher.
I do have to ask this, sorry. Okay, so I'm going to put this out there. I'm assuming it is Homicide in Kingston, based on what he said in the promo.
I am true.
But what is the connection between Nana and Homicide in Kingston? Because I always thought it was... I just don't see the connection that they've had in Ring of Honor in the past, unless I'm forgetting.
No, there is no connection in the past. I think they're going to try and create a new one. The easiest thing I can do, I can say that they can do, and what I would do, just because I love my hometown so much, is, you know, Prince Nana is from Brooklyn. Obviously, Homicide is from Bed-Stuy, Do or Die, here in Brooklyn. Eddie Kingston, not too far away from Yonkers, New York. So there's the New York connection that ties them all together, and they're wrestling in Manhattan. So it may not be the embassy that Prince Nana represents. Maybe it's some sort of new gimmick with basically – not necessarily a gimmick, but like a New York connection that's going to happen. That's the way I would do it. I think as a team, Kingston and Homicide would be really awesome.
Team together in Chikara.
Yeah, there would be a great little X factor to throw in what's already once again a very strong tag team division of Ring of Honor. They went through they go through some lulls here and there, but you know,
and they've been tag champions somewhere. They've been tag champions somewhere together. I just can't remember where.
So you think that they may become the tag team champions sooner than later?
He pretty much says in the promo. Tag team division, and then he says any division, but I mean, he says tag division, you know, be on your guard, whatever. Right. So that's, I'm not saying that they're going to win the titles anytime soon, but clearly this is Ring of Honor working on their tag division, and I guess, Ari, it's not low key, no?
No, I don't think so. I guess we'll see if our predictions are right. Don't have to wait too long.
No, don't have to wait too long, because it's on August 17th. In the Hammerstein Ballroom, 311 West 34th Street, Manhattan, New York, 7:30 bell time.
Yeah, it's just a block or two away from Penn Station, where you can take the, is it the ACE23DRNQ and LIRR. I might be missing one or two trains there. Maybe the L. No, I don't know. A whole bunch of trains run through there. So you
the Ari Berenstein tour guide service is not working at the moment.
No. Do you not live in New York? Then you, like me, are just hearing letters and numbers. Cool.
This podcast is brought to you by Sesame Street and the MTA.
Now, I know they don't really have iPay-per-views anymore, but this seems like this should be one of those, whatever they're doing now, where it's on two-hour delay or something, or one-day delay.
DPDs.
Yes, those. Now, so, you know, the card is not yet formed, but I feel we're missing something here. I don't know. Maybe it's because All-Star Extravaganza was so full of talent that I just feel we're missing a couple of wrestlers or something.
You wanted to see Matt Taven versus Kushida, didn't you?
Well, who doesn't?
Exactly.
I want to see the Time Splitters against the American Wolves, bitch.
Oh my god, that would be the match. That is the match right there.
Yeah, that is the match.
Yeah. I'm going to dream.
Come on, Alex Shelley.
Like Powerball.
Come on, Alex Shelley. Just take a hand out. Come back.
Alex, I think he's still injured. I mean, reportedly, that's why he's injured. Minor injuries, so...
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, but Matt's dreams. Matt's hopes right, and dreams. No?
Yeah,
he's Little Town Blues.
I know he listens. You may remember me from a TNA. You remember that company you used to work for, TNA? Yeah. They came to England, and I came to see you, and I got your autograph, and I sheepishly said, "You guys are awesome," to him and Chris Sabin. I know he remembers me, and I know he listens to this podcast. So from me to you, suck up the injuries, get on a plane, come to Hammerstein Ballroom, 311 West 34th Street, Manhattan, New York, take all those trains that Ari said, and wrestle, damn it! Please? I don't know. Anyway.
Alex Shelley should remember me because he cursed me out during Steel Cage Warfare. He basically intimated that he had sex with my mother. So.
Oh, man.
Your story's better than mine.
That's awesome.
Yes, I think I called him a sellout for buying into the embassy. This is the embassy versus Generation Next.
How dare you?
And he basically said, I effed your mother.
I remember when it was real, damn it.
Actually, he said, "I effed your mother, fatty or fat boy." Yeah. So.
Wow.
Wow, that stings, Ari. That stings.
I was traumatized for life.
Yeah.
Well, I hope we've cleared that up a little bit for you, Ari. I hope we have. So we have, is that it? Because I do have a, I just want to, we did take a few questions for this podcast.
Yes.
I know I just randomly threw it out there on Twitter to see if we'd get any, and we did, which was awesome.
Lightning round.
All right. The contract status of those whom are rumored to be on WWE's watch list. This was a weird way to word it.
Who
said,
watches the WWE
with Triple H
watch list?
In-house last night. Now this, for whatever reason, two people tweeted at me, "Wait, Triple H was at Ring of Honor last night?" No. I'm assuming he was on tour with WB. Where are they, like in China and whatever? So, but in terms of the contract status, I think obviously we just said, what, Mike Bennett is re-signed with Ring of Honor, and that is courtesy of PW Torch.
Yeah,
apparently
re-signed with Long-Term
Cole
year.
Is still with Ring
Cole,
of Honor.
Yeah, Cole re-signed with Ring of Honor. I think they have that picture of him. So really, I would say what? The American Wolves are the only ones right now that are in question. And their contracts expired supposedly August 1st, which was last Thursday. All I gotta say is I hope they learn from the Kenny King situation. Come on.
Yeah, but aren't like all of the rumors that they're pretty much a lock to go to TNA? Like, I don't think anyone.
Yeah, but look at the issues TNA's having right now with money. So why would you?
Would
you go there?
Breaking news, this is not, you know, they fired all those guys not because of Tito Ortiz, but because they're bringing in Davey Richards and Eddie Edwards into a high price contract.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Hey, I mean, if they can make money, I'd be all for it. But I would think WB would still be more of an option than TNA in terms of monetarily, you know, because you look at TNA right now and you go, they offer you anything and you're like, I don't know.
Hey, remember when ROH was small enough that TNA had no problems mentioning them on the air and ran like an internet poll? Which Ring of Honor wrestler would you like to see in the X Division? And Austin Aries won and had his little run.
Yep.
Oh, that was cool. Yeah, I don't know who's on the Ring of Honor roster that WWE are interested in right now. If they're not crazy, they want Ciampa to come back and be Tommy Penmanship again, but...
That's money.
That is money.
I don't think Thomas Ciampa wants to be Thomas Penmanship ever again. If you haven't listened to the Art of Wrestling podcast where he talks about all that...
I did listen to it. That's why I keep making this joke on every podcast every time we mention Ciampa. I listen to it on train, which is where I listen to most of my Art of Wrestling podcasts, on trains.
Yes. And then I believe Prince Nana, rumored, had a tryout with WWE, but hey, he's back with Ring of Honor, which, whatever, it happens. So see what comes of that. But I think that's it, because everyone else should be signed.
Adam Page, clearly.
Yeah, obviously. Matt Taven?
Nope.
Okay, so this is for us longtime robots, I guess. Why Dunn and Marcos deserve a shot at the World Tag Team Championship?
Oh, I got this one. Okay. Do you know why Dunn and Marcos deserve a shot at the World Tag Team Championship?
No.
Nope.
Because they're not going to take it. No, they're not going to take it. No, they're not going to take it anymore. Yeah, Ring Crew Express.
That is totally going to be the music for this podcast.
Yeah, it is. Not Nirvana.
Sorry,
okay, I'm going to sing us out on Nirvana. Spoilers, everyone. That's what's going to happen. That Ari answered that question.
That's like, who in the heck are Dunn and Marcos?
Matt does not know who Dunn and Marcos
Ring
is.
Ring Crew Express, baby.
Does bring up an interesting point, though. There is, have you noticed throughout history, there's always, somebody on the undercard, the undercard, the Barry Horowitz is only younger, There's Dunn and Marcos, there's been Kelly Primo, there's been Bobby Dempsey and Andy Right Leg Ridge, and now there's Cheeseburger. So
Sugarfoot,
can't forget the Sugarfoot.
And he's got to make a comeback at some point.
There's always been that kind of undercard act there that
Bobby Dempsey's brother, whose name I don't remember,
Derek.
Right. Wow.
There you go.
Jeez.
Dunn and Marcos, Tag Team Champions, 2014.
There you go. All right, and then why Ring of Honor stopped certain talent from selling their merch on Pro Wrestling Tees website? I think that's
capitalism.
Exactly. I mean, I think that's pretty clear. If you're a business. Now, granted, not saying I agree with this, but this is what I feel.
Oh, in fact, you wrote an article about
it. Yeah, I did write an article about it. So essentially, if you're a corporation, it's actually, I find it very similar to when TNA was saying, oh, we can't have our talent on these indie DVDs, so we're going to stop that. I kind of feel it's the same thing with Ring of Honor right now. Are people going to buy from the wrestlers' shops, or should they buy from Ring of Honor's shop? So if you're Ring of Honor, what are you going to do? I'm not saying it's morally correct. I'm not getting into the ethics of it. But if you own a business, that's what you do, I guess. Maybe. It's up to them, and that's what they chose to do. So, Ari, I'm assuming you guys have thoughts on this. I wrote an entire article on it. So you guys can go read that.
Yeah, I see Ring of Honor's viewpoint, as of this recording, they've only two wrestlers, Jay Lethal and Michael Elgin, closed their stores, so I don't know just how deep this is going to get,
but I think Steen's store is still open, so imagine that, Ring of Honor saying, no, Steen, we're not selling your shirts anymore.
Right, well, one of your biggest stars in the company is still going to go ahead and do that, then it kind of takes the teeth out of that, their desire to shut that down. And as the 1 hour tease has even put on Twitter, is that they make the Ring of Honor t-shirts. So there's a relationship there. I think maybe, as opposed to talking about who's right and who's wrong, let's talk about possible solutions. And I think maybe if they just take a few minutes to do some behind the closed doors negotiation, and maybe both sides can come up with something agreeable where, Ring of Honor and 1 hour tees or Pro Wrestling Tees, whatever the website is, can both get benefits out of that deal, and then the wrestlers themselves can obviously continue to sell their merchandise and make extra money. Because honestly, I think that's the most important thing, is, you know, that the wrestlers feel allowed to make as much money as they possibly can, you know, whether it's through Ring of Honor or through their own means. And I guess it all, as you wrote in your comment, it all really depends on the terms of the contracts and all that. You know, as far as, you know, the goodwill factor, you know, it's kind of negligible. I don't think that any Ring of Honor fan, whether it's a new fan or an old school fan like you or me, Chris, is going to say, they're not letting the wrestlers sell t-shirts. Well, screw them. I'm going to stop watching Ring of Honor. I just don't see
Ari,
that.
I can say with all honesty, I have not bought a single item from the website since this occurred.
Okay, but it just occurred like last week, so.
Well, so. That mean? Well, there you go.
There you go.
Sticking to my guns.
You're a man of your discipline, my friend. Yes, very disciplined. I just, you know, to me, if Ring of Honor fans still stuck around after all the iPay-per-view debacles, and you know, obviously they've been rewarded with a very hot last month, and it's going to be a great month this month and next month for Ring of Honor with their shows. This isn't something that's going to really kill the PR or goodwill or anything. It's not like they fired or released a guy who almost killed themselves for the company after promising him a job for life. It's not that bad. So, you know, it's, to me, it's an interesting issue. It's definitely worth a debate, but I see the merits of both sides of the story, and I really just hope that, again, a deal can be made to continue to get make everybody happy. I will say this, though. Gabe Sapolsky doesn't hesitate to retweet any wrestler from his roster who is selling on 1 hour tees for WrestlingTees.com. So,
except for maybe the Young Bucks, because they have no contracts.
And I will say this, Kevin Steen has some amazing t-shirts. He's gotten, I don't have, you know, like, my days of buying band and wrestling t-shirts are mostly over as I get older, but he makes me very, like, I want to dip that credit card out and get some t-shirts of his, because he's got some good ideas. And the Young Bucks, too, they do a good job with their designs. I was very, very close to buying some stuff at the DGUSA show, but had to kind of shut that down. Resist temptation.
Matt, how many shirts do you have that are wrestling related?
Oh, too many that I don't wear. Let's see. I got a DX t-shirt. Got an American Wolves t-shirt, a Tyler Black t-shirt, an Age of the Fall t-shirt, and there's one more. Right, I've got a mostly Machine Guns t-shirt. I got two CM Punk t-shirts. I think that's it.
There we go.
I can get away with wearing the CM Punk ones because, like, they don't have a WWE logo on them. And if you're geeky enough to know who CM Punk is, you're not going to make fun of me for wearing it. So, you know.
So what do you think of all this, this t-shirt?
I don't think it matters at all. And it's politics and business. And who gives a fuck? We're the fans. You can still buy a t-shirt. They're still making money. So we'll move on.
Eloquently said.
Thank you. I'm tired.
And then the final question, when are the Monster Mafia going to be in Ring of Honor? Of course, this is referring to Ethan Page and Josh Alexander. I don't know. Whenever Ring of Honor has a spot open or next time they're in Canada. I mean, I'm pretty sure they worked the Canadian TV tapings. I don't think any of the matches were on television, but I know that I think they got dark matches. So, yeah, I don't know.
I have prepared a list of talent who I am asking, when are they going to be back?
No.
Frankie the Mobster. The Dark City Fight Club. All the people that used to work in that company in Philadelphia with luchadors. Matt Sydal. CM Punk. Samoa Joe. Briscoes. Brent Albright. Eric Stevens. The Necro Butcher.
Daniel Pierre.
Yep. Matt Cross. Has he ever been there?
Yeah, he's been.
Okay, why not? There's more. Nope, that's it. Austin Aries, he loves Ring of Honor. He talks
Necro
nothing
Butcher,
positively.
No? Maybe.
Necro Butcher, yes. Super Dragon, Adam Pearce.
You know who I really want to come back to Ring of Honor?
Matt Hardy.
Shima.
Jeff Hardy. Christian.
Oh, God, that's right. Christian was in Ring of Honor.
Yep.
That's right. Yes. Do you remember when he called Daniel Bryan, Bryan Danielson, John Cena with AIDS? And now Daniel Bryan will be wrestling John Cena.
And where's Christian on that card? Facing Alberto Del Rio.
Oh, how it all comes around full circle, my friends.
Yep. Yep. Daniel Puder, you covered. Dan Maff. John Walters.
Man, his gimmick right now is on fire.
Matt Stryker, the other one.
The Stryker with an I.
Oh, both of them, actually.
Oh, yeah, actually, technically.
Both Matt Strykers. Abyss, Jimmy Rave, AJ Styles, Christopher Daniels, Homicide, Hernandez.
I would like John Moxley to get that tryout match. You know what I mean?
John Moxley, Chuck Taylor,
Teddy Hart.
Teddy Hart.
He will die for you.
And his cats. His
James cats Mitchell. James Mitchell.
Abyss.
I already said Abyss. Oh, Jesus Christ. If you're not even going to listen to me, I don't know why I'm doing this, Chris.
I got to write this down.
Ari, talk about the Monster Mafia. My list is over.
I'm done. I don't know.
I like.
Let's move on. If they come in, if they don't, they don't. I think
that's the end. Unless Chris has any more questions.
I have no more questions. I didn't ask for any more lists.
The defense rests, Your Honor.
God damn it! When will Abyss be back in Ring of Honor?
What about Joseph Park?
Exactly. What about Joseph Park? When's he going to get his debut?
What about Raven?
Raven?
Oh, no.
What about Johnny Kronos? No? No? Okay.
What about Johnny Kronos?
Johnny, fair play. Chris Hero, Claudio Castagnoli, Dragon Kid, Shima, Shingo, Masato Yoshino,
Baby Hulk.
Yamato. That other wrestler called Yamato, who isn't, you know, the Yamato. Yeah. There's another one, I swear.
Dragon Soldier B.
Yes. That is what I'm...
Well done. Well done. Right, this podcast is over.
And we're done.
This podcast is over. I've got nothing to plug. I will do in the future, though. And I know I've said that before, but this time I'm serious. Matt C. Waters on Twitter. I tweet funny jokes and also not funny jokes. Ari, what do you tweet about? How do I tweet you? And what do you write? And what are you doing?
I don't know. Oh, God. At Ari Bernstein for my tweets on Ring of Honor, DGUSA, PWG, and trying to get Hayley Williams from Paramore's attention and never getting retweeted from her. Sucks. She gets to interact with CM Punk all the time, but do I? No.
Just go after the chick from Versa Emerge. I reckon that's your better bet. Okay. Chris, why don't you talk about stuff that makes me and Ari sound like slobs who sit around all day doing nothing?
that's pretty much what I'm doing this month, since I am actually technically on vacation from PWP. But as always... Sorry. Exactly. But as always, we want to thank all of you for listening. If you are checking us out on Stitcher or on iTunes, please leave a review. Be really helpful and doesn't really take any time, maybe a couple seconds here or there, but we would appreciate it. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/PWPonderings, where we will be live tweeting PWG 10 results. I assume we'll also be live tweeting Bola results. And if I can give Ari enough money, maybe he'll tweet some Manhattan Mayhem 5 results. We'll see about that. As always, follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/ProWrestlingPonderings, and the main website, pwponderings.com. Lots of DVD reviews. As I said, you can check out my article about Ring of Honor and the value of goodwill. A lot of other DVD reviews coming out, and of course, Kevin Ford's new podcast. He just did with Scott Jagged Parker, who was on the last Ring of Honor television as part of 3.0, so go listen to that. Lots of fun. And as always, we are grateful for everything you do for us. You know, buy stuff from highspots.com. Use our link on the website. We'd really appreciate it. If you want to contact me, CGS Tong on Twitter or cgstong@pwponderings.com is my email.
Wow. There you go. Kevin, until I am on that podcast of yours, I will blaspheme the Fantastic Four on a weekly basis until I appear on it. Also, if this website breaks in the next month, are we all just fucked? Like, without Chris, we're all just like dumb animals hitting ourselves over the head with rocks. How does fix website?
I don't know about that, but I know I work the monkeys extra hard this month, so we'll see.
Okay. Well, there you go. We're all done. It's time to go home now.
Bye. Now you've got to sing Nirvana.